Welcome to the 2016 WCHL Community Forum, presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Our annual forum features Chapelboro's movers and shakers debating the big issues affecting our community and you. And it begins now.
Welcome into the WCHL Community Forum. I'm Blake Hodge. We are excited to begin this marathon broadcast day with our town gown panel. We've got leaders from around Orange County with us this morning. Our county, of course, is a bit rare when you look around the state and the nation even. We have got three very different municipalities all operating within Orange County. And, of course, Orange County is home to the oldest public university in the United States with UNC Chapel Hill. We're honored to be joined by leaders from each of those groups from around the county this morning with UNC Chancellor Carol Folt, Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, Carrboro Mayor Lydia Lavelle, Chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners Earl McKee, and Hillsborough Mayor Tom Stevens. So thank you, everyone, for joining us this morning, and welcome. And we're excited to have you here for this first hour of the WCHL Community Forum. We do have a lot of familiar faces this year. We want to begin with opening comments from everybody to give everyone an idea of kind of what's top of mind in your group right now going forward. Of course, a lot of collaboration at this table with everyone working together, but some individual things as well, I'm sure. So Chancellor Carol Folt, you're here right at the top of the table, first in the alphabet. So from the university's point of view, what's kind of top of mind right now? I know there's a lot going on this time of year.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us all here. Top of mind for me is graduation. You know, we're moving towards commencement, but the end of the year is always quite exciting because you see people pulling things together. We're looking at the awards. We're seeing all the students honored, the faculty honored. And so that's been very exciting. But it has been a very busy year, maybe kicking off with the start of the year, Nobel Prize winners. We've had an amazing set of hirings this year. You know, we've really done well in our recruitment and our retention is up. We've been looking at lots of conversations about racism. We've been looking at conversations about HB2. Those are all very important. I think this has been a year that I would define by student voice, and student voice in a way I'm very proud of. They bring issues forward, and we've been debating them, but making real progress. We've also had lots of partnerships moving forward with everybody at the table. I think we'll have a chance to talk about those going from Carolina Square on forward. So all that's pretty exciting, not to mention a pretty exciting run to the national championship in basketball and a number of championships for the ACC won this year. So it's just a time when you get to reflect on all the accomplishments that are happening on campus.
Yeah, women's tennis just getting
the
ACC
tennis,
crown.
Men's tennis, women's lacrosse, men's lacrosse. One weekend.
So, and yesterday, of course, there were developments with the long-running saga here of the academic scandal. So with the notice of allegations in, the amended notice of allegations in, how has the mindset kind of changed around South Building and around the campus in general?
Well, I mean, absolutely, we're pleased to have it. You know, we want to move forward. We feel like we've been doing everything that we can to work with the NCAA, and I think that's been very important for us. We worked very hard to make sure it could become public as quickly as possible, and we were able to release it on the same day. And now, of course, we're in the midst of that process, but I think it's important. It also allows me to reflect, as I do, on how well the students are doing. Our athletes this year had a record-breaking APR for UNC. You know, so I try to remember that the students are here, have nothing to do with that, with those allegations, so they need to feel that they're moving forward and proud of their institution, and we need to feel very proud of how we're handling it. So Bubba Cunningham really is a very thoughtful leader, and I've got a lot of confidence in him.
Well, from our perspective, with all, everything we've got going on today, we're very happy that that was able to get released yesterday as well. Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, welcome to the discussion this year. It's been quite a year from your point of view, from community member to candidate for mayor and now mayor of Chapel Hill. So what's on your mind right now?
Well, good morning. I'm very happy to be here. We've had a lot of good things going on in Chapel Hill. It's been an amazing ride so far. First, I always say the first 100 days are always exciting, different, and we had very unusual things happen. So we've weathered most of those. But we've had several initiatives going since I came on, and we're excited about all those things. You're going to see some of them play out this summer. I know parking has been a major concern for the university, for the towns, for the citizens, for the businesses. So we've been working with the downtown merchants to find out what kind of things we can do better. So we've pulled together. We're going to start a pilot program this summer. I'm hopeful, and I'm going to just say we're really going to hope the council approves free parking on Saturdays during the summer to add to the free parking on Sundays to encourage more people to come downtown. We've also got some other things we're doing, trying to move some employees out to lots that cost them a little bit less money and open up the visible lots for patrons to come downtown. And we want you to come downtown. There's going to be some exciting things going on. And that's the next big topic is we're going to have a lot of road improvements going on this summer. It's going to be a little disruptive, I guess, for people's traffic patterns at first as we do Rosemary Street, the Ephesus Fordham area. We actually have 7 road projects this summer, and they're on the website. Please go to our website and see so that you can kind of make plans around those. But it's a great time to get them done during the summer, both because the weather is better, but also because we have fewer people here with the UNC being out for the summer and people taking vacations. It works out a little bit better. So that's going to be great, along with a few sidewalk projects that go along with that as well. We also have been working on the Ephesus Fordham area. We had a wonderful collaborative effort between our advisory board chairs, some developers in the community, staff, getting together and figuring out the things we needed to do to finish the Ephesus Fordham. We have some more work to do, but the first phase has gone through, and I think it was very productive. I was very pleased with everyone coming together. There were some compromises at the table, but it worked out pretty well, so we're excited about that. And then I have the Food for the Summer project. Again, a wonderful collaboration between the groups that are coming together. We have over 3,300 kids in our district that are on free and reduced lunch. And with the long summer and school being out for the summer, these kids don't have access to the same food that they would have while in school. So the groups have been meeting. The State Department's been involved, DPI. UNC has been wonderful, collaborative at the table. We're pulling all these resources together with IFC and Porch and Table. I don't want to leave any group out. It's just an amazing group of people, and we're making progress to have a pilot program this summer that has 20 feeding sites. So we're going to need volunteers. There will be a website up and running soon. We're looking for volunteers to help take the food. It's already prepared to take the food from the school that's preparing it out into the community, these sites, and we're going to do that every day during the summer. So we're really excited about that. And then, of course, it's budget season coming up for all of us. It's always an interesting time. How do we make the tax dollars work most effectively for the most citizens? And it's going to be, we like gathering input. We're going through that right now, and it'll be an interesting couple months.
You mentioned this first 100 days, and you had kind of the full gamut of things, a little bit of inherited with the Legion property discussion, and then just a tragedy outright in the Malia Williams shooting, and now you get House Bill 2, an ice storm. Has being mayor lived up to what you were thinking it would be?
Yes, it's been very, I tell people it's been wonderfully amazing and exhausting. But I've been fascinated. This community is amazing, and the people come and they have things to offer as far as ideas, concerns. I was talking to a gentleman. We opened up pickleball courts, by the way, on Saturday, which was wonderful. We had about 100 people show up, and people were telling me how much they love Chapel Hill, and I always ask, why? Tell me why you love Chapel Hill. And I was amazed. Most of the reasons were is because people who've moved here say this is a community that cares. It cares more than just about their own personal lives. They care about community. They care about bigger issues. They care about the world. I think that's why you saw all of us stand up against HB2. We care. We want everyone to be treated equitably. We cannot believe the state passed this horrific bill. It makes no sense to us because we care, because we want to be inclusive. And I love that about Chapel Hill.
Perfect segue to hop over to Mayor Lydia Lavelle from Carrboro, the first municipality to come out against House Bill 2. And while we'll, of course, talk about that, you can talk about that now if you'd like. But what else is kind of on your mind from the Carrboro perspective on things?
Sure. Yeah, and I'll segue into that. As Pam mentioned, we're in the middle of budget time. On Tuesday night, on May 3rd, our town manager, David Andrews, will reveal his proposed budget to our board. And it's one I think that citizens will see reflects. I always like to say you can tell the values of a town by looking at their budget. And I think that citizens will see that again when it's revealed on Tuesday. We have a lot of good initiatives. We have a good capital improvement program. And we're hoping to not have another tax increase. That's always our goal, but it's our goal again this year. So that'll be on Tuesday, and it'll be a good night. Between now and then, we also, another value our community has deals around reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and we have a community climate action plan that we've coalesced around and gotten a lot of interest in, and we're having a public hearing about that tonight. So anyone who wants to see that draft plan, again, I think it's a way that we're encouraging our community to be thoughtful and think through and look at this plan on how we can reduce our impact on the earth. You asked also, I know, one more thing. Sunday is Carbro Day. So that's our annual, you know, celebration of the town. It'll be Carbro Town Commons from 1 to 5 on Sunday afternoon. Everyone's welcome. Lots of music and good times, and hear about the history of Carbro and enjoy poetry and, you know, have some food trucks and all that. It's a great annual event.
I hear there are no shoes allowed at Carbro Day. Is that true? I'm very much in favor of that, by the way.
Unless you're on your bike. But I will say, you were asking also what's been going on just in general. And as I heard Pam talk about, and, of course, the chancellor, there's going to be a lot of construction in the university and in Chapel Hill. Same thing in Carbro. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think through it, we have Shelton Station going up right now on North Greensboro Street. So if you drive on North Greensboro Street, as many folks have done, and say, what's that going in there? So that's happening right now. At the southern end of Greensboro Street, we have South Green happening. And you can see, if you've gone by there, the old Rogers Trium area, all those old buildings have been torn down and cleared, and so there's going to be construction happening there. And so you have it at both ends, and then we recently approved our second hotel for Carbro, and that'll be over in the East Main Street project behind the Art Center and Cat's Cradle, and construction on that will be happening. So, folks, it's going to be hard to get around our communities
plan-wise,
for a little while, but it's an exciting time, and that and more is happening in Carbro, and it's a great town to be the mayor of.
And as we zigzag across the table here, we welcome in Earl McKee, chair of the Orange County Board of Commissioners. Thank you for joining us this morning, of course, Commissioner McKee. And I know y'all have got a lot on your plate as well, talking about budgets, a big meeting tonight with both school boards to hear their budgets. So what's the county commissioners thinking about right now?
Well, it's an honor to be able to be here this morning and, talk with the mayors and the chancellor, and also get some information out to your listening audience. Yes, schools and budgets are a big part of the conversation tonight and going forward, because we are now going into budget season. Mm-hmm. But I want to start with a topic that is on the front and forefront of everyone's mind and is dominating the news, which is HB2. Mm-hmm. Orange County has been in the forefront of inclusiveness, in the forefront of ensuring that everyone is treated equally and treated fairly. And HB2 just tramples all over that whole ideal. It not only tramples that, it reaches out and takes away local control over local issues, which, when you start thinking about taking away your rights to appeal a discriminatory action on the state level, somehow I don't even think that is within the realm of reason. So we passed a resolution the other night asking for the repeal of that. We authorized our attorney to participate in legal actions going forward and to work with other county attorneys and other organizations to pursue legal justification for taking action against that. And going forward, we will monitor the situation and try to ensure that this is repealed. Unfortunately, I do not believe that the legislature as it currently sits will repeal all of that. They probably will repeal the section that deals with the ability to sue in state courts. I think they will leave the rest of it there. I personally see this as more of a power play than anything else, and it's a continuation of actions that have impacted counties and towns for several years now. And speaking of the budgets and the schools, We will be presented with the budgets tonight with the schools. There will be some fairly significant increased requests. Orange County has always been very supportive of schools, and we will continue to be, and try to figure a way that we can fund schools to get the maximum results as far as student achievement. We're also, as I think everyone is aware, placing a bond on the November ballot for school construction. Even though $120 million of that bond will go to construction, it only addresses about half of the needed identified needs going forward over the next 10 years. So We're going to try to address what we can now and come back later to pick up and do the rest of it. Some other issues that are facing the county is getting sewer into Rogers Road. Mm-hmm. We're moving forward with the towns on that issue. I think we'll be able to address that fairly quickly now. Things seem to be moving along, and the towns and the county are on the same page as far as how to get that addressed. And we're now in the process of looking about the routing and the easements for that. Recycling countywide is in the process of being implemented. We are building out the routes and getting the countywide recycling. That everyone saw that $107 fee on their tax bill this year. So I want to assure folks, and I've been asked repeatedly, you know, when am I going to get my recycling cart, particularly in the northern and western part of the county where the routes are being built out. Mm-hmm. The Cedar Grove Community Center will be coming online. We'll have a soft opening on May 19th, and then I think June 17th we will have the formal opening of that community center up in the northwestern part of the county. Other issues that we're working on, working with the towns on, include economic development and other issues, but economic development in particularly, whether it is working with the Hillsborough EDD and working with Hillsborough as far as extending sewer into that economic development district, or working with Chapel Hill on the potential of Ephesus Fordham on projects that Carborough or Mebane might bring forward, I think that we are open to trying to make sure that economic development progress continues in Orange County so that the vitality of Orange County will continue to increase. So we got a full plate.
And we'll round out our opening comments here, welcoming in Hillsborough Mayor Tom Stevens. And a lot of times, more attention, I guess, is focused on the southern portions of the county, but y'all have just got a lot going on in Hillsborough as well over the past year, and just continuing to grow up there as well.
Well, good morning. And yes, happening Hillsborough. Happening Hillsborough is what's always on top of my mind. And in fact, we have the Last Friday celebration, which has become a real brand, is happening this Friday, bands on the courthouse lawn, and, you know, every month there's an art walk, but it's just quite a community celebration. So you can kick off your Carborough Day, you know, the weekend by coming up to Hillsborough. And it's just what a fabulous place. Among other things, there's just ribbon cuttings for new businesses. So small business, large business, we're going to see lots and lots of more economic development in the Hillsborough area. And I think, I know Mayor Heminger is sort of talking about her first 100 days. I realize I have my first decade, you know, and so I'm starting to think about, you know, how things have really changed. If you walk downtown in Hillsborough, you know, Weaver Street Market was not there. The freestanding library was not there. Just how much is different, you know, with the hospital and the community college and just what the community is like. And yet it still feels very much the same. It's Hillsborough. And the next decade is going to be, likewise, you know, we're going to see major changes in the downtown. And as we say, we all have projects going downtown. That's happening this morning. You know, some of the downtown lots and construction's going on. One of the private bridges are going to go that's going to connect the Speedway from Riverwalk. And, of course, Riverwalk has been this enormous success story. Mm-hmm. So I think what's top of mind for us, we had a very a candid discussion last night, looking at our balanced scorecard, looking at our budget, looking at, you know, where we're going as a town. And we're a lot of it's just focused internally, and we do a very good job of taking care of the infrastructure and where we're going, but we're in that kind of rock and a hard place. We used to have like 40 houses at any given time. Now we have 80 going on, so having the planning staff to just sort of track the development that's already approved. We have new development that we've just approved that's going to be happening. We expect more along the way, particularly more commercial work, and our police officers, our public works staff, we've got these new parks that we didn't even exist 10 years ago. So I think we're feeling the pressure, and it's another 3 to 5 years before actually revenue from all these things are coming in. So, you know, we're very, very constrained about what we're able to do, and we realize there's so much that we can invest in now. It's going to make such a huge difference 10 years from now, but we're very, very constrained. And so I think part of top of mind for us is just how do we keep things going. Our staff are amazing. They're looking for new ways and creative ways to move forward in our community and just make sure that the infrastructure and things that people expect from local government to make all those wonderful things happening that people see happening. But it's sort of a strain right now for everybody. So we're really feeling it with our staff, and I think that's kind of what's on top of mind for us, besides HB2, and I got plenty I can say about that.
Well, that certainly has been a month and a few days here that HB2 has been in place, and everybody's still trying to keep up with the daily developments on that, whether it's the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling that the transgender student in Virginia that violated Title IX funding did not allow them to use the restroom that matched their gender identity. So there's still a lot of developments to come, and all the municipalities and the county here have passed resolutions to repeal HB2. Chancellor Fault, I know you're clearly in a different situation there as not being an elected official and all of that, but how is the university dealing with House Bill 2? Is it, I know last time we talked about it, it was still kind of a digesting phase.
I think everyone, we're all still waiting for as it plays out in the courts, and the faculty actually several weeks ago passed a resolution similar mm-hmm. to the ones you've seen from the town, and I've also said myself that I didn't agree with it, but we have to comply with the law. We're a country of laws, and we don't always agree with every law, and we continue to work within that framework. But I think we did a lot of pro-action, too. We've been out immediately trying to find out and help everybody on campus who's affected by the law, and that includes people who are directly affected, and it includes their friends and communities. And we've been doing a lot of work just auditing our own restroom facilities, making sure that we're complying with zoning laws, and then we're spending the whole summer really doing that. We've talked to people about the fact that we may need to add new mm-hmm. Facilities. So that's been a big part of it. I think everyone's talked about economic development. We all see our real goal in the region to bring the economy forward. We take all the work that goes on in Chapel Hill has a lot to do with building new companies. And, of course, this law has a chilling effect on that. So we're spending a lot of time trying to work with people who are interested in building companies here. And I've spent a lot of time talking to people about what it would be like to come here. Is this really where they can bring their employees, and how can it work? And mm-hmm. so I think, like everyone in this room, we're really working hard to help the people that are here and also keep the dynamic region moving forward while this is really going to be debated and debated in the courts, I think especially in the time ahead. So that's pretty much where I think we are right now.
You mentioned that you had a really strong recruiting year and that retention was very high. Have you seen any immediate effect from that in terms of from the faculty or students? Retention point of view?
You know, I think we're all trying to be very careful to really talk about things for which we have direct evidence. Mm-hmm. We've certainly had lots of conversations. People have said, I'm trying to debate where I should go. I should think about this next year. The academic world actually is on a pretty set schedule, and since we've really threw that for this year, and that will start up again in earnest in the fall. So I don't think I can say specifically about numbers, but certainly the concerns have been raised. Our more direct impacts have been in conferences, mm-hmm. where when there was travel bans that started developing, that has had a measurable and immediate impact when people can't travel to the region. So there's where we see it directly, most directly.
And spinning off of that, you were talking about kind of the economic impact that it's having in terms of businesses and everything else, and that's something that even beyond HB2 we've been trying to find a way to harness all of the talent coming out of UNC to keep it in Orange County, in Chapel Hill, in Carver, or wherever they may be. So I know Launch Chapel Hill has been doing a lot of great work with that kind of model. So where do we stand with everyone at the table here for trying to keep those kinds of things going forward?
So I'll just say one thing, and then I'd love to pass it to my colleagues. But that's why we're trying to look at all these issues in a fuller picture. At the very moment when I was talking about the impact packs of HB2, this is also the best year ever in recruitment and admissions of students. We've almost $1 billion in research. We've seen our numbers of companies, starting companies, startup, really increasing. So it's that momentum, that excitement that we're seeing that we really want to continue to see. So we've developed and are working in particular, not only with Chapel Hill, with all of our partners, to develop more maker spaces. And we've got a very exciting emerging innovation district that would link Franklin Street, down Porthole Alley, right into makerspaces that will be a whole swath across the campus. And all that we're very excited about is happening as we speak.
So are we at the town. We're very
Mayor
excited.
Himinger, yeah.
UNC has this wonderful, wonderful economic energy, but it also just the energy that involves bringing other businesses that want to be here to collaborate with that talent pool that comes out of UNC to be part of that. And so we want to see that. We've heard they want to be downtown on Franklin Street area to connect close to the university, but we've also heard some spaces that people would like to be on the major corridor. So whatever we can do to help, we want those companies to be here. We want those UNC spinoff companies to stay here, but we want that energy. It helps keep us young and vibrant, and it's a really win-win for everyone, I think. And the university has been a wonderful partner, and actually they've been creating the spaces, and we've been cheering from the sidelines and trying to be involved as much as we can. Launch is a wonderful, it's a nationally, you know, recognized effort, and it's incredible, and I think it's our future. I mean, I know it is. I know that's what we want to be. We want to be that innovative place.
And one of those collaborative spaces that immediately comes to mind is at the newly named Carolina Square, where construction is underway. So what are we expecting to see, or what kind of a timeline are we looking at there, either Chancellor Volt do?
I think the opening date is in 2 years
yes.
from now. But one of the really exciting parts of Carolina Square, too, is we put in a whole arts innovation area because we really want to develop out the arts district. When people think about coming and recruiting and retaining here all these great companies, they want a very vibrant community. So that arts district is really exciting, but it's also exciting when they hear about, you know, things like these days that happen and all the arts and music that happen in our surrounding towns are very important recruitment tools for us.
And we're delighted at the town, and it has been a wonderful, again, a collaboration, a partnership. We are very, very hopeful, and I can't confirm or deny the rumor of the business coming there yet. We're still hopeful that we can announce that soon, which will add another dynamic to downtown and provide some opportunities for people to walk and get the things they need without having to get in a car or use transit. It's been amazing. You're going to see more going on. Like I said, this summer, over on that same side of town, Rosemary Street is going to be redone, and the AC Hotel is going to start construction this summer as well. So you're going to have a lot of things going on, but it's generated a lot of energy and curiosity as people are watching this project go up. And we're excited for the different businesses that can come into Carolina Square as well, and for the arts part, and for the green space that Carolina Square is going to offer up there, too.
And I believe you're, just to make sure, referencing the rumors that a Target could potentially
a Metro Target. Wouldn't it be nice? They would also have so if you've ever seen a Metro Target, they actually have a pickup window, too. You can order online and walk over and pick up whatever you need, but they have grocery options, and it fits into a building like Carolina Square versus being the normal strip mall kind of look. It's a very different kind of model. I've been in a few in Pittsburgh and Minneapolis. They're well-used and well-liked amenities to a downtown.
Well, I know a lot of people downtown would be excited to have something that they could walk to in terms of a grocery option and all of that kind
yeah,
of
especially
thing.
Especially residents of Northside and 140 West and Greenbridge. Anyone living downtown would like that opportunity, I'm sure.
Mayor Stevens, it looks like you want to
I was just saying, it's very, very exciting here in Orange County. And remind folks also, in addition to Launch and some of the other initiatives, we have the what we call the PFAP, which I think is going to change their name, but the Piedmont Food and Agricultural Processing Centers already launched many successful companies. Some have been acquired, they're growing businesses there. That connects the agricultural areas that we have in Orange County. Certainly the arts that are happening in Carrboro and in Hillsborough are very, very important. And the tourism is a big thing. And sort of going back to the HB2, I mean, just how real the chilling impact is as we're having all these successes too. A couple weeks before the legislature had their special session, they sat down with the director of the North American Travel Journalist yes. Association, and of course we're considering a conference in coming
we
to the
it.
Chapel, which we got it.
We got it.
And they're spending a day in Hillsborough, and so sit down with the director. We're up at Hillsborough Barbecue, and we're coming to Hillsborough for a day. So it's really this is how we partner together and working with and but I remember, you know, sitting down with the director and saying, okay, the one thing I need to ask you. You know, this is North Carolina, and a lot of our writers, you know, are part of the LGBT community, and you know, are writing about these issues. And is this an okay place for us to come here? And so that was a direct question And said, yeah, let me tell you about my neighbors. Let me tell you about the writers here. Let's tell you, you know, what a friendly and welcoming community it is. And yet we still struggle with that, with whether it's the burning of flags, whether it's HB2. You know, this is still something of a community. And so I don't think we would have had that conversation if HB2 had happened 2 weeks earlier. But we got the conference. They're still with us. And so this is the what we're in about opposing this law and yet working within it and make sure that everybody feels welcome here. Just glad that we're in the partnership that we've been working together to make that happen. Well, seems to be working.
Well, yeah. Mayor Lavelle and Commissioner McKee, and then we'll eventually have to squeeze a break in here for just a minute. But Mayor Lavelle.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, first of all, it's a great community when you're the only gay person at the table and you haven't had to talk about how we're inclusive of everyone. So I really appreciate everyone's comments about HB2. Blake, you were asking, talking a little bit about launch and spinoffs and entrepreneurs, and I just wanted to mention, in Carrboro, we don't have any formal arrangement with the university as far as launching folks off into their careers, but we do have an auxiliary branch, I think, at OpenEye, where people... but seriously, we have a very popular co-working center called Perch, mm-hmm. which is beyond full. And so we know that there's a need in our downtown area for folks who want to be able to come downtown and work off of the energy and the synergy that is downtown, but continue to work in their own cubicle or space. And so we're always kind of exploring and thinking through how we could address that need. But likewise, we also hear from our downtown folks and our particularly our light manufacturing citizens that space downtown is really expensive, and we all know this, you know. Mm-hmm. And so what we have also been trying to do is look at places in Carrboro that might be not so expensive to retain some of our light manufacturing. And to that end, we've been starting to look out East 54 because the boundaries of Carrboro, you know, kind of go out a little further past Carrboro Plaza. And we have some opportunity out there to perhaps expand some manufacturing. And we've talked about that a little bit over the last couple of years, and we're trying to look at it in a little more fine detail now. So we may be talking to other jurisdictions about that, depending on what it would involve. But we do have, you know, some space out there that's underutilized that might be more affordable to keep some of our light manufacturing in town.
Commissioner McKee.
Congratulations on the conference coming over maybe some of their qualms, but that's... The really bad part about this entire thing is that you never know how many opportunities you miss because someone read in the paper or they talked to some of their friends and they did not make a phone call. They did not call Orange County. They did not call the towns. They did not call some of our Arts Council people about a conference, about a visit, about anything, or about a relocation of a company into Orange County. An expansion of a company, and those opportunities you never know about, and those opportunities cost Orange County citizens jobs, they cost Orange County and the town's tax revenue. Tourism is a huge part of Orange County's economy, mm-hmm. and it's something that is sort of behind the scenes. It's not like you ride up Highway Interstate 40, 85, and you see the Morinaga Candy Factory that was built there. Has 100 and some jobs, a $40 million investment. That's pretty obvious. That stands out. Tourism doesn't stand out. But if you go to the Eurosport soccer complex on weekends where they're holding tournaments, if you come to downtown Chapel Hill, downtown Carver, downtown Hillsboro for some of the events, this Friday there'll be the last Friday event. Hillsboro will be swarming with people. Same thing with Carver this weekend. Those folks come. They bring their friends, and they revitalize our economy. They spend their money. They support our local businesses, the local shops. They support Orange County and the towns with their tax revenue, and they keep this county moving. My fear is that that will tail off. That folks will say, "Well, I'm not coming to Orange County. I'm not coming to Chapel Hill. I'm going to go to Charlottesville, Virginia this weekend instead of Hillsboro, instead of Carrboro." And we will never know how much we lose because we weren't alerted to it. And it's just a quiet It's a quiet loss, and but it's a real loss.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make one other comment on HB2. Orange County had for years been moving towards single-use bathrooms. We have the single-use facilities in almost all of our buildings, and we're continuing to build out with renovations, with additions, and we're going to continue to do that. We're going to continue, regardless of what this bill does or says, to do everything that we can to be inclusive, to make sure that everyone is treated, as I said before, fairly and equally, regardless of what the bill says, regardless of what it does. We will find a workaround to make sure that we can continue.
Well, I know the residents of Orange County and a lot of people out there are very happy to hear that. We do need to squeeze a break in here, so we have got a lot more to get to, a lot more prompts here that we may not end up getting to in just our short hour discussion today, but a lot more of the WCHO Community Forum Town and Gown panel coming up after this.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to the arts.
Chapel Hill is open to diversity.
To education.
To collaboration.
To transit.
To foodies.
To innovation.
To progress.
To the environment.
To light rail.
To craft brews.
To affordable housing.
To city parks.
To kids.
To connectivity.
To business.
To culture.
To green.
To smart growth.
Chapel Hill is open to family.
Chapel Hill is open.
Chapel Hill is open to you.
For more information, visit open2.biz.
Summer is rapidly approaching, and fall will be here before you know it. Need some extra courses to help you prepare for college? Need to complete your high school diploma or get a GED? Looking for training or certification to help you get that dream job? Classes begin May 16th, so visit durhamtech.edu and search summer registration. Schedule a meeting with an academic advisor who will give you access to our web registration system. You'll be amazed at the great selection of interesting courses you'll find. And get ready to do great things.
If you haven't visited the library, your free library card awaits. With impressive digital and print collections, a wide range of movies, along with knowledgeable, helpful staff, the Orange County Public Library has three convenient locations to serve you. Visit us in beautiful downtown Hillsboro, McDougal Middle School in Chapel Hill, or at the Cybrary in Carrboro. You can also like the Orange County Public Library on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Welcome back to the 2016 WCHL Community Forum presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Thanks to our sponsors, Brooke Pierce, Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership, Durham Tech, Jersey Mike's, Kidzoo Children's Museum, Maria Finnegan Fitness, Molly Maid of Chapel Hill, and Orange County Government. Once again, here's Blake Hodge.
Welcome back into the WCHL Community Forum Town and Gown panel here. Of course, very happy to have leaders from around the community to join us this morning. And one thing that connects quite literally a lot of our community is Chapel Hill Transit. Mayor Heminger is the operator, the town of Chapel Hill, of Chapel Hill Transit. Of course, this only comes about with cooperation from the university and the town of Carrboro and the county as a whole. So what's the latest development that we have with Chapel Hill Transit? I know last year we were talking about the state of the buses, and I believe y'all are making
a
little progress.
The state of the buses is horrible, and it's costing us all more time and energy and frustrations with the citizens and people trying to use the transit, so we need some new buses. Mm-hmm. And we agreed to sort of piggyback onto Durham's contract to buy more buses, and wonderful, again, collaborative working relationship with the university and the town, Carrboro, and Orange County, and everyone to try to get agreement on who gets to. When you have a group running a transit system and all contributing, you have to make sure when you purchase assets what that plays out to, that you have those commitments that you have, and Chapel Hill's got the center that we do all the maintenance and running of those assets. So again, a wonderful collaborative spirit. We're going to have some new buses come online shortly. We gave the go-ahead to go ahead and start the purchasing of at least three, probably more, on the list to work back up to the 44 buses that are needed out mm-hmm. of a 90-bus fleet. So we've got to make those improvements. The newer buses actually are much more energy efficient. They burn cleaner. They are in the diesel category. I know that concerns people. We are also investigating the electric buses. We're doing a good study about that. We want to make sure that we understand what the benefits could be. of those as well. But for this first round right now, we're going to continue with the known entity that we have ability to purchase. So look for those coming soon. I know that'll be a big relief to the maintenance staff as they try to pull parts. They call it the boneyard. They go and get parts out there. And then reevaluating the routes with all this new construction and new energies going on, we need to make sure that we're capturing the most people the most efficient way.
And I think it's important to just reiterate that we can probably take it for granted sometimes, but having a fair, free system in our community, Chancellor Fault, the university, the largest financial contributor to it, and, of course, getting a lot of people in and out of the university is a main reason for Chapel Hill Transit. So what are you wanting to see kind of developing in that going forward?
I think everything about the transit system is critical to the success of our university and the region. I think we're really proud of the fact that we have this system, the fare free system. It is, I think, the second largest transit system in the in the state. Mm-hmm. It's part of being a great modern university is that you're not turning it all into a parking lot.
Right.
You know, you're trying to develop sustainable ways to run the university, to work within the town and the community. So we just believe very much in it. I think we're about 58% of the costs, but that it's a high priority for us, and we continue to find ways to do it, try to keep the cost down. But this is not a service we would imagine ever sacrificing. Mm-hmm. It's part of what makes the community work so well.
Mayor Lavelle.
Yeah, we're really fortunate to be in a community where we partner so well with the university and the towns. In fact, I think this morning is the monthly partners meeting, transit partners meeting, where we get together. And I was the our representative to that for many years, and really get together and very collegially talk through and have over the years how to make this system continue to get better and to work better, recognizing at the same time the increasing cost. In some years where gasoline really put it way out of sight. But it's both towns, and I'll speak for Carrboro, but I know it's the same for Chapel Hill. Both towns kind of built our land use plan around the expectation that we will rely on transit or hope to encourage transit for people to get around. And whenever we have a development come before us, one of the first things we ask is, you know, where would the transit stop be, you know, or where could it be? Or does it make sense to even, for example, encourage affordable housing in a place where we don't have transit? Mm-hmm. You know, because that's really a large aspect to affordable housing is to try to make it so a family can either be car-free or maybe a family only has one car. And that really makes housing more affordable for everyone.
Mayor Heminger.
Just want to add, too, people always ask me, you know, what has changed? Why is it so much more expensive? Why can't we just go to charging people for riding the buses? And I will say the major thing that shifted is the federal government isn't paying to buy the buses anymore. And that's a major expense coming through, not only the gasoline prices, but actually purchasing the buses. But because we run it fare free and because we have wonderful partners like the university, they contribute more money than you could actually collect for the ridership. It's been proven.
The federal government contributes more money?
Just when citizens talk about, you know, why don't we just charge people a dollar to ride the bus? Mm-hmm. And I try to explain that the university contributes so much more money than you would if you added up the ridership and coming in. But it's a value choice. Like Mayor Lavelle said, it's a value choice. We want to create a community where we're not all driving our cars to be all parked at UNC or downtowns. We want people riding transit. We think it's better for the planet. We know this, but the state funding has been reduced as well. So that's where these expenses are coming to play, and that's where your tax dollars go. But also we get all this collaborative effort because it is the fare-free system and serves so many. And we do our land use just like Mayor Lavelle said. We do our land use planning around this kind of thing. The 420 coming up from Hillsboro, I mean, it's just growing in leaps and bounds of people coming in. And how wonderful that all those cars, that people have an access to jobs, but all those cars aren't coming down and trying to park at UNC.
Let Mayor Stevens jump in.
I see my neighbors walk to the bus stop every single day to take the 420 Chapel Hill to their job.
Yeah. Mayor Lavelle.
Yeah, just to respond, to piggyback off of Mayor Heminger, two things. Number one is, people say, well, why can't we, like, pay a buck or something? Yeah. But honestly, studies show that will decrease ridership, not just because people can't pay a buck, but it's a pain. And so people, you know, the ridership increases, and so for those rare opportunities where we are competitive for grants for example, buses or whatever, one of the metrics is, you know, what's your ridership like? So you have to kind of weigh that out. Secondly, I like to, we always kind of like to remind people, it's fare free, but it's really prepaid. So it's a major, major, major part of not just the university student fees and their budget, but, you know, for example, the town of Carrboro, it's perhaps the single greatest expense that we continually allocate year after year because it's such, you know, maybe beyond like personnel or something. But it's because it's such a value, a strong value to the community.
Commissioner McKee.
I'm glad Mayor LaVale mentioned that it really is prepaid. It's a fair free system, but there is a cost, and that cost falls to the towns and to the university. Mm-hmm. But I think that it works in a beneficial way. One other thing I'm glad that Mayor Heminger mentioned was the 420 that comes out into the Hillsborough area. That route also ties into the ODX route, the newly established route from Durham to Mebane, which really increases the viability of it. It allows someone living in Mebane to catch that route to Hillsborough, the 420 into Chapel Hill. My niece several years ago had a summer job in Chapel Hill, and it took her about a week to find out that parking was impossible. And it was very difficult. And she started driving from Northern Orange County, where we live, to Hillsborough, catching the 420 and coming into Chapel Hill on that. And it worked out perfectly. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of people that in Hillsborough area, Mebane and Durham area, are using these interconnections to make a bus route much more viable. This past weekend, my mother-in-law mentioned using a bus in the Mebane area where she grew up to go shopping. And so the idea of using buses is a very old, very well-established pattern of transit, and I hope that we can continue to build that out with the county working with the towns. Currently, we have a circulator route, Orange Public Transportation circulator route that runs in Hillsborough, and hopefully fairly quickly we will be able to run a reverse route to cut wait times, increase the availability of the service, and make it much more convenient. And I think as we move forward, using, you know, the resources from the half-cent sales tax for transportation and other revenues, that we can continue to build out a more comprehensive system countywide.
And we'll have a longer discussion about this at 10 o'clock with our transit panel coming up, so we're excited to continue this discussion. One other thing I wanted to make sure we hit on was something that's been in the works for a very long time, was extending the sewer project there into the Rogers Road neighborhood. So I know, Commissioner McKee, we'll go right back to you with the county and the towns working together on this. Where do we stand with that right now?
I think where we stand is we're getting ready to jump into the construction phase. The Rogers Road situation of whether or when or how to extend the services into that neighborhood went on a very long time. Mm-hmm. That conversation went on much too long. It was around and around. I really have no idea of what promises were made over the 40-year time frame of the life of the landfill. Have no idea exactly what they were, but I've got no doubt that promises were made, implied, and not kept. That neighborhood put up with that the landfill in their proximity of their neighborhood for a very long time, and that was an imposition on that neighborhood. So I view this as sort of a way to pay back that neighborhood by taking care of some of their needs. And the sewer is one of those needs, and water is available. So I see that as we're right now at the cusp of getting that started, working with Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and I think we're getting ready to move forward on that.
Mayor Heming.
I want to thank the county. They've been very good partners at the table working forward on this. We had a meeting with all of the managers and mayors and staff involved earlier in February, I guess it was, to sort of scope out what the plan was. And the first phase was to figure out where the water system laid, and it turns out that about 86% of the Rogers Road neighborhood have connected to the water system, which is wonderful. We hope they all will eventually. And then how do we move forward with the sewer implementation? And buying easements was the first phase of doing that, and working with OWASA and trying to figure out all those complex. I will say we've made great progress. The community center is up and running, and it's a wonderful facility. It's a wonderful community asset for the entire community, not just the Rogers Road, but it expands far out. And if you haven't been over there, it's a wonderful experience. After school every day, weekend programs, summer camp programs. We've made good on some of those promises, Earl. I mean, it's taken us a long time, but we're making forward progress, and we're going to do the same thing with the sewer. And I will say the county has been very willing to take the lead do the work, and then we're going to be partners in paying it all back.
Well, I appreciate the compliment to the county. Community center, the decision was made not to continue to wait for the community center while we had the discussion on the sewer.
I was on the board then.
Yes, and you were part of that discussion, Mayor Hemminger. Appreciate your support on that. There was a need for the community center, and it was decided not to keep that tied into the sewer discussion because we knew that that would delay the implementation of that. And that center has really turned out to be almost perfect for that neighborhood.
Well, one other thing in terms of neighborhoods that we were talking about last year was the initiative in the Northside neighborhood to try to preserve the character of that neighborhood. And we were at the Carolina Inn earlier this year talking with a lot of people again at the table here about the work that Habitat for Humanity's done in that neighborhood. Mayor Hemming, I know you've got a lot of ties with Habitat and with that project going on. So what have you seen in that neighborhood specifically trying to keep that character of the neighborhood?
I see this wonderful, again, I like to use the word energy. You can just feel it at the community center with people coming in there. And a lot of concerns, though, about these properties either flipping out or becoming gentrified as we put in the water and sewer. So we're starting those discussions on how we keep that from happening. We're also keeping, we had a project, a Marin Road project, by the way, that come along Homestead Road there, that they're going to continue the sidewalk around the corner so that people from the neighborhoods up along Rogers Road can have a safe way to walk to the schools and to that area of town. Habitat would love to go back in there. I know we're starting some discussions about the Green Tract and what some affordable housing could look like in the Green Tract as well, which is a property we share jointly with everyone. So those discussions are beginning on what we can do. Like I said, this community center really is the heartbeat. It's the center for the neighborhoods there because of the it's run locally, if that makes any sense. Even though it's a community center, the local groups run this. They put on information sessions for adults and activities for kids and learning opportunities for everyone. So I see that neighborhood staying collectively together very well. They've been very inclusive for the Habitat community and for other parts of this community. I would hate to see it flip out and become gentrified, and I hope we can help make that not become a reality.
Mayor Lavelle, and then we'll go to Chancellor Paul.
I want to make a quick comment about Rogers Road, and then I'll segue to Northside. Rogers Road, just wanted to kind of chime in from Carver's perspective, because we're one of the three partners at the table with regard to that project. And it's always difficult when just one jurisdiction's working on something. And I know the devil's in the details with the three jurisdictions in getting sewer to the 88 historic properties. But that is clearly a very strong priority of our board, and I know it is of the others as well. And I know Mayor Hemminger and I have been talking about ways to kind of move this along, and so that's a high priority. As for Northside, that was a wonderful event a few months ago that we were all at talking about the initiative there. And I just wanted to kind of remind folks that the Carborough, we do have some houses, streets in the area of Northside, and to that end, we I believe it was end of March, early April. We committed, I think, $40,000 to the Northside Land Bank because we also want to be a part of helping to shore up and preserve the properties in Northside that are in the little bit of Carborough that's there. So,
I think the Northside is a wonderful project, and it was one of the first things when I moved to the region. I think I've talked about being introduced to the community and spending time there and watching how our communities work together to keep Northside thriving is important. The money that we put forward, the $3 million 10-year interest loan, has been working with self-help. And I think right now, just in the past year, they've purchased six properties, and the homes of several long-term residents have been had major home repairs done. I think it is Habitat's, haven't they committed, I believe, to repair up to 25 new properties in Northside. So in addition to bonding, it's having very immediate direct impacts in the community in exactly the ways that we hoped when we came up with the partnership. So I think it's a place that we're seeing the action having a positive impact.
Yeah, we'll go Mayor Hemminger here, and then we'll start to wrap everything
we'll
up.
Talk about another wonderful collaboration. UNC jumping in there to help start the process, really rolling along with that note. The Oak Foundation has now thrown some money money into the pot to help through the Self-Help Credit Union, Habitat. I was on that board. We wanted to come back into the area. We've looked at properties and are going to move forward starting this fall with probably 7 to 8 homes this round and the Brush with Kindness project that goes on. But a lot with the Jackson Center, with empowerment, a lot of people really coming together to make it work and making the best use of the resources, pulling them all together. The town contributes $200,000 out of its penny for housing every year for help administering all that, as well as some other projects going on in Northside. So it's a high priority for the town of Chapel Hill as well.
As we start to wrap everything up here, we'll just go reverse order from what we did at the beginning. So Mayor Stevens, we'll start with you. Any parting thoughts for us this morning?
I know we're short on time, yeah. But just again, it's the collaboration that you've heard around the table. It's just very, very, very important. And we see, Hillsborough is the heart of Orange County, and but really we're a very small town, about 6,500. But really appreciate they realize that Chapel Hill, Carrboro, being a larger Orange County community and in the larger Triangle community is really, really important here in North Carolina. Really just remember, we all love living here. We're all very connected. We all love living in North Carolina, so we're going to persevere.
We always enjoy the visit to the county seat up there. So, Commissioner McKee.
I would echo Mayor Stevens' comment on collaboration, because collaborative efforts, while they are sometimes more difficult and more extensive to execute, are always better in the end. It's very easy just to chart your own course and move forward on your own initiatives and not worry about the other entities that are involved within the county, but you get a less satisfying and a less beneficial product in the end, very much in the same sense that Rogers Road, the sewer, the community center, ended up being a much better outcome because of the collaboration between the towns and the county. On all of these issues, the collaboration is necessary for us to get a better product.
Mayor Lavelle?
Yeah, I'd like to echo what others have said. I'd also like just to kind of remind us that we do live in a bubble. and it's been kind of beneath the kind of conversation here. We've talked a little bit about HB2, but how important and imperative it is for us to reach out to others across the state to make sure they understand the details behind what's going on with our General Assembly. We didn't get to talk about light rail, really, Blake, but that's one huge example of something that at the last minute, an add-on in the budget to have this cap on light rail after literally years of planning at the bequest and direction of the General Assembly to move forward in the process for light rail, to have in essence, something kind of hanging over our heads that's out there to kind of maybe stop us from doing what they might consider bad behavior, I would say. It's just really appalling, and we really need to get the word out across the state to make sure people understand what's really going on and try to gain back some control in the General Assembly.
And we will be talking more about light rail during the 10 o'clock hour once again with our transit forum. Mayor Heminger.
Well, I echo all the comments that have been said so far. And again, collaboration, working together. We don't stand alone. We may be in a bubble for this swath, but we don't stand alone. Mayor Lavelle and I are part of a group of metro mayors from the 40 largest municipalities across the state. We partner together and work on issues to try to have a lobbying voice, a stronger voice, to the General Assembly. I won't say against the General Assembly, but to the General Assembly. But I want to go back to just saying that Chapel Hill and Carrboro and the county, Hillsborough, we all, and the university, we pride ourselves in being open to the public, open to people, open to creativity, open to new ideas. We don't want to solve problems on our own by ourselves. We want that collaborative effort to do these things, and I think we model that pretty well for the rest of the state. I will say that Chapel Hill has a lot of moving parts going on right now. There's a lot of things in motion. I encourage people to go to our website, sign up for that weekly newsletter. Communication back to the citizens is key to having a strong community. And it's really hard in this day and age when things are social media, fractured newspaper sources across. I mean, all these kinds of things. So please, if you want to know what's going on with the town, we want you to know. We're trying to share that information as best we know how. Go to our website, get signed up to get those weekly emails. They're short, they're sweet. You can just look at the parts you want to look at and stay informed.
We'll wrap it up with Chancellor Fulton.
Well, thank you. I would ditto everything that my friends and colleagues said. But I'd also like to just mention, we sit in a very special place. We are an education innovation center for the region, for the state. You know, everything that happens here is about creating knowledge, educating people without people who do not come here because they can pay, but because we've got access and affordability. It's about being open, and it's about spreading that. We work in 100 counties. We move across the nation. I think that's really important, and as we look forward, we continue to take that advantage of these partnerships and then spread all the wealth of knowledge and experience out across the state. No university, no great university is great if they don't have absolutely wonderful communities within which they work, and I think that's been a very special part of our community. But we look forward to the when we're going to make ourselves even more beautiful and active and open. I just want to stress that this UNC Chapel Hill is open to everybody. And yes. So we welcome you to come walk across our campus. And, by the way, check out some urban gardens that are coming up there, too, when you're walking across campus. Thanks.
Well, it's rare that we have an opportunity to gather leaders from every aspect of local government in the county and the university. We don't take that lightly, and we very much appreciate your participation in our community forum. We do have a lot more to get to, a panel discussion on higher education coming up next on the WCHL Community Forum.
This year's WCHL Community Forum has been presented by the Town of Chapel Hill Economic Development. Thanks again to our sponsors, Brooke Pierce, Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership, Durham Tech, Jersey Mike's, Kidzoo Children's Museum, Maria Finnegan Fitness, Molly Maid of Chapel Hill, and Orange County Government.
Hi, I'm Dwight Bassett with Chapel Hill Economic Development, and we're thrilled to be the presenting sponsor for this year's WCHL Community Forum. The Economic Development Office works to attract and retain businesses and jobs in locations convenient to transit and housing, all in an effort to build a sustainable economy in which to live, work, and play. Chapel Hill is open to business and open for business every day of the year. Follow us on Twitter at @CHEconDev. Chapel Hill, right on the edge of the triangle.
Brooks Pierce Law Firm is a proud sponsor of the WCHL Community Forum and a proud supporter of the Chapel Hill Carborough Chamber of Commerce. Our lawyers strive to provide excellent legal counsel in business and nonprofit matters, including employment, tax-exempt organizations, construction, intellectual property protection, and litigation. Find out how we can help your enterprise at brookspierce.com.
Kidzoo Children's Museum in Chapel Hill is proud to sponsor the WCHL Community Forum because of the way it informs and empowers all community members. We like to do the same for children and families, nurturing curiosity, creativity, and self-directed learning. We call it inspired learning through creative play. With programs and experiences for children infant and tween and the adults who care for them, Kidzoo Children's Museum at University Place in Chapel Hill, your community's resource for learning through play.
Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership is proud to sponsor the WCHL Community Forum. The conversations of the forum aim to inform and empower community members, and as downtown's economic development leader, we strive to do the same for the downtown business community. Downtown offers a thriving local arts and cultural community, hosts world-renowned dining, and serves as the gathering spot for young and old. To learn more, head online and visit www.downtownchapelhill.com.
This is Charlie Ferris, owner-operator of Jersey Mike's Subs on Elliott Road and Chapel Hill North. After 5 years, friends often ask if I'm sick of subs yet. The honest truth is no, and I don't think I'll ever tire the best sub sandwich on the planet. But I do have a secret. You can get any one of our mouth-watering subs on a salad. We call it our sub in a tub, and these range from the fresh and light turkey provolone to the protein-packed original Italian. We just leave out the roll and stack your favorite meats and cheeses on a bed of crisp veggies. Come try one today at Jersey Mike's Subs.
WCHL thanks the Town of Chapel Hill's Economic Development Office for presenting our 2016 Community Forum. The Economic Development Office works to attract and retain businesses and jobs in locations convenient to transit and housing, all in an effort to build a sustainable economy in which to live, work, and play. Chapel Hill is open for business, open to business every day of the year. Follow them on Twitter at @CHEconDev. That's CHEconDev. Economic Development in Chapel Hill, right on the edge of the triangle.